Welcome to Talking Junk.
I'm your host, Jason Melendez.
Live now every week on Fridays.
Talking Junk.
A multitude of professionals in different aspects, different walks of life.
You have to come on and talk junk like a normal person.
Welcome to Talking Junk.
I'm your host, Jason Melendez.
Live now every week on Fridays.
Talking Junk.
A multitude of professionals in different aspects, different walks of life.
You have to come on and talk junk like a normal person.
Welcome to Friday nights. We here and talking junk as always. I'm here. Tyler's having technical difficulties. He should be on a little later. But without further ado, let me bring my guest on tonight, Mr. Wajid Hassan. How are you tonight, Wajid?
Hey, Jason. Good to see you. Good to be on your show.
Thank you for coming on. Well, I'm glad to have you on.
My pleasure.
Took a little while, but we got you on. My lighting is a little crazy. So, while we're waiting for Talid to come on, and we have some junkers here saying hi already. Hi, Sunshine. Hi, Debbie. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I was born in Pakistan. My parents moved to England when I was 3 years old, and I lived in the north of England till I was the age of 10. And from there, we moved to London, and I went to high school in England. Got a formal education, got into the technical field as a field service engineer for a little while in England, and then moved to America in 1987, primarily Los Angeles, lived in Los Angeles for over 30 years, kept in the technical field, and then went on to do acting and voiceover for about 20 years. And then recently just moved to North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina. I've been here now for over a couple of years now, and that's where I'm based.
So voiceover work, anything we might know?
I did some voiceover work for Disney for some TV commercials and did some looping for movies as well. So nothing kind of out of the ordinary. I mean, I did some voiceover work for Jungle Book 2, Disney's Jungle Book 2, some TV programs like
any voiceover work is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a competitive business, but I managed to get some steady work in voiceover commercials. And you know, the entertainment business is very competitive. So I was glad I had the opportunity to get regular work as a union actor.
So do you usually distort your voice in any way, or do you just keep your voice as is?
Well, in my situation, coming from South Asia, even though I was raised in England, Hollywood loves the stereotype. So they, you know, so they always like you to put on an Indian accent or anything to do with an accent that they like. So generally, most of my voiceover work has been, you know, putting on an Indian accent. That's what they want to pay me for. That's what I'll do, you know.
So what made you write the book? What made your interest peak into UFOs?
Well, you know.
But you're a spiritualist also, correct?
Yeah. Being born in Pakistan, I was raised primarily as a Muslim. I went to the mosque and did the Arabic prayers and the Quran, read the Quran. But at the same time, being raised in England, I went to Church of England school. So I also got into Bible study, got into hymns and carols. And so, you know, I had kind of the best of two ideologies, Islam and Christianity. But I didn't really see much of a difference. I just saw them as two different paths to one particular, you know, divine cause. And then at the age of 16, that's when I met my own yogi master, an Englishman by the name of Dr. George King, who I've been following for the last 40 plus years. And that's where my interest in spirituality, healing, metaphysics, and yoga. And it wasn't something that I, you know, I planned to make a career of, because, you know, that stuff really doesn't pay the bills. And I didn't go out my way to make myself as some kind of icon. But I decided to write the book last year, The Struggle for World Sanity, because let's face it, right now, you know, we're not in a very good position on the planet. We have endless wars. We have hatred between races and religions. We got pollution. We got an economic, you know, policy that favors a minority who become billionaires, and everybody else is getting poor. And so, in the light of this, I wrote the book so that it could shed some light, give some hope to your listeners that it may get worse before it gets better. But as foreseen by my yogi master and other seers in the past, that eventually there will be a new dawn of a new age that's coming to this earth, an age of peace and enlightenment. And that was the main reason I wrote the book. You're muted, Jason.
How does it go hand in hand with UFOs?
Well, coming back to my own yogi master, Dr. King, in his early 20s, he was a section leader for the London Fire Brigade during World War II, during the Nazi blitz over England. And he had the terrible task of doing search and rescue. And it really bothered him when he picked up pieces of little children, and it really bothered him about all this suffering, to the point where some recollections of his past after the war, he decided to get into yoga, and not just physical hatha yoga, but, you know, pranayama yoga, yoga breathing, mantra yoga. And he would practice yoga for up to 8 to 10 hours a day on top of his regular job at that time.
London. Wow, so that's a full-time job in its own.
Yeah, he managed to sleep like 2-3 hours a day. How he did it, I don't know. He had that discipline. But he reached...
You sure he wasn't sleeping through meditation?
not to my knowledge, but he did achieve some of these higher states of which the Buddhist and Hindus call nirvana, or cosmic consciousness, these high states of being. And it was then that he was...
Something we all should be striving for.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And it was then that he was contacted by beings who man these spacecraft or UFOs. And information was relayed to him mentally, where he would go into a positive somatic state, and mental beams would be sent to him from these extraterrestrials, which he would translate through his larynx into English. And a lot of these messages...
Was he able to categorize which extraterrestrials were messaging him?
Yeah, there were different extraterrestrials that contacted him. And so these messages came through as cosmic transmissions, over 600 of them. And when I got in contact
with him, 600?
600 transmissions, yeah, over the period of his life, on top of other mental transmissions as well. And so these messages, you know, again, I'm not here to promote any ideology to your listeners. I just say that people keep an open mind and do what I did, was do my own research into his organization, the Aetherius Society, and then listen to these cosmic transmissions themselves and make up their own minds. You're muted again, Jason.
I myself believe in UFOs. I've seen some things in my life that I can't explain. Military can't explain it. How can I explain it? They can fly up there. I can't. So there's definitely some things out there. So I'm right there with you.
Well, you know, Jason, UFOs have been seen in our skies for the last 18 million years that we've been resident on this planet. History shows that. I mean, there's been cave drawings of UFOs and extraterrestrial beings that date back thousands of years. So this phenomenon is not going away. And recently the Pentagon revealed films that they have chasing a UFO. And I think there's going to be a disclosure on the 24th of June that was required by the government on certain files that the Pentagon have on their UFO. But, you know, I believe there's also a tremendous cover-up. And
yeah, they're not going to. That's why they're not going to give us any real information. They're going to disclose what they can, and really it's going to be nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the transmissions that my master got was that the extraterrestrials, I refer them to as cosmic masters, because they are not only technically advanced, but they're also spiritually advanced beings. They really care about us. And one of the transmissions that they said was that UFOs are real, UFOs are friendly, your government knows this. So as technology...
But how many of them can really be friendly? Because if there's good, there has to be evil.
I agree. But there was another message that Dr. King actually asked them and said to them, how long would it take for you to take over this planet? And they said between 10 and 15 minutes. They could totally take over this planet. But the cosmic beings that look after us, I think they also protect us, because I also agree with you, there could be evil alien intelligences outside of this solar system. There also information was gained that have actually tried to attack this planet and were protected by these cosmic beings. So I agree. Yeah, not all of them are benign or friendly.
Now, are you able to disclose any type of name of or race
of the cosmic beings?
Yes.
That's a very, very good question, because if you look just on this earth and you research Buddhist and Hindu philosophy, you know, they talk about different realms of existence that we have just on our earth, which we're not even aware of until we die. And Dr. King, being an advanced yogi, was able to project to these realms just on earth. And he said there's four realms below us and there's six realms above us, which again, terrestrial science can't even detect. Unless you're psychic, you can maybe commune with some people who passed on to these different realms, but most people on this planet are not even aware of it. And so in the 1950s, he wrote a book called You Are Responsible, and in this he projected to the moon, he projected through his astral body, he projected to Mars, to Venus, and he said there was advanced civilizations living on every planet in the solar system with the exception of Mercury. Now, logically speaking, I would agree with science that if we flew to Mars or Venus in our Earth terrestrial bodies, the likelihood that we could even survive or find life probably would be minimum. But he conversed with advanced civilizations living on higher dimensions, and quantum science, quantum physics,
now, time isn't linear.
Are parallel universes. There are dimensions that are dovetail with us. So these advanced civilizations live on Mars, on Venus, on Jupiter, on Saturn, on Neptune, on Uranus and Pluto and Mars. And so, you know, it's a concept which now people are beginning to understand, because let's face it, our intelligences have been insulted for years when the media and the government keep saying, oh, maybe there's a possibility of life, maybe there isn't. We know now, based on our own scientific knowledge that we've been lied to. And people are, all the interviews that I've come on, people have always been open to life on other planets or extraterrestrial life in this galaxy and beyond.
Yeah, because we got to be pretty arrogant to think we're the only living beings that are that have the intellect to even do things, anything that we can do.
I was on a show recently, earlier today, and one of the listeners called in about, well, what does NASA know about UFOs? NASA knows a lot about UFOs. They're not talking, you know, another abbreviation for NASA is never a straight answer because, you know, the astronauts that went to the moon, they all, Mitchell and a lot of them, they all, when they came back, talked about being followed by flying saucers, by UFOs. When they landed on the moon, they talked about UFOs hovering over them. But none of that was reported in the media till they retired.
They had to avoid mass hysteria.
Well, I don't think it's mass hysteria. I don't think they're keeping the truth in order to control the masses, because if they found out that these extraterrestrials are actually spiritual, benign beings who are actually want to help us, it would mean that their control would go. And I think that's what it is. So they bring in this fear aspect that, oh, they could abduct us, they could do this to us. Trust me, if they wanted to abduct us and do things to us, they could have done that a long time ago.
Yeah, which is why everything on the news is terror and there's violence everywhere. It's all fear-mongering.
Well, you know, the media said if it bleeds, it leads, and it's designed to keep people in fear. If you keep people in fear, you can control. It's easy to control them. You know, the conquer and divide. You know, let's have this race hate this other race. Let's have this religion hate this other religion, and just keep the people divided. When in reality, we are just one entity. And we just come to Earth for different experiences, different religions, different races, in order to learn. That's all. And, you know, another aspect that the cosmic beings are throwing out right now is the law, the truth about reincarnation, because that's been suppressed by a lot of people, that reincarnation is a true fact. And if people knew that we don't just have one life to live, that we do come back with different experiences, different religions, even different sexes, it would first of all answer, you know, the so-called inequality of this world. Why is somebody born rich? Why is somebody born poor? Why is somebody born with cancer or another person can play the piano at 3 years old? These answer all these questions. But the biggest thing it would help is that, you know, this so-called national pride or racial prejudice, all that would go out of the window, because people would think twice if they
went to sexual prejudice also, because
yeah,
reincarnation, if what we're really getting at is your soul just entering another body in another form, you know, a lot of transgender people are, that's what they're feeling. You know what I mean? They're feeling their past life. That's absolutely how they feel. This is what they are. And they know it. It's up to us to catch up.
Yeah. And then, you know, people would think twice. I don't know if you know, but there's some Christian scholars that are coming out right now saying that did you know that the Christian church suppressed the teachings of reincarnation? Were actually taught in the Christian church a few hundred years ago, and they actually stopped teaching that, so that they put in this one life to live in order to control their followers. And so, but once this truth, this universal truth, once this universal truth is going to be accepted worldwide, people will think twice before they go bomb or kill somebody in another country or somewhere else, because they will think, you know, that could have been my brother or my sister or my mother or father in a past life. So I think that truth is also what the higher beings or the people who man these spacecraft are trying to tell us right now, is to bring forth this truth of reincarnation.
it would be a godsend to bring the truth out. However, I do see kind of like pro and con. Like, yeah, people can kind of sympathize and say, you know, that could have been my brother in a past life or my son in a past life. But I feel like other people are going to be idiots and just have the type of neglect to say things like, you know, he'll get it in his next life and just do the deed anyway. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I mean, even in India where they believe in reincarnation, they see a beggar on the street and they go, well, that's his karma, you know, from the past life. So that's just as bad as anything else. You know, instead of saying, well, we should help this individual, you know, people kind of look down at people based on the fact, oh, maybe he was a bad person in the last life. So that's that stuff has to be taken out of context as well, you know.
Yeah, we all got to think as one. Because if these beings do stop, if they stop protecting us at some point, or if they decide to turn on us, which I don't believe will happen, hopefully, but you know, you never know. If it happens, how are we ever going to defeat them if we can't come together as a people?
Yeah, I don't think they will ever turn on us, because some of the transmissions that Dr. King got, was he said that some of the people who started these religions, people like the Master Jesus, the Lord Buddha, Lord Krishna, were actually extraterrestrial beings that incarnated in a physical body. They said that that Jesus and Lord Buddha actually were from the higher dimensions of Venus, and that Lord Krishna came from Saturn. You know, so people have to think twice before they talk about this Star of Bethlehem that went that hovered over the stable. There's more to it than just a star hovering over the stable. And then when the Lord Buddha was born, there was five disc-shaped objects seen over the temple when he was born. And when he died, five disc-shaped objects were also seen over where he died. So I think some of the greatest religious leaders were not from this world. I believe they were extraterrestrials who came and taught mankind to come back to the spiritual laws, not the religious dogma that we get these days, but basic spiritual laws.
Yeah, because everything's commercialized now, so that's why.
Yeah, everything's monetized. Everything is, you know, is geared to popularity. But if we follow, the cosmic beings have said, if you want to follow any leader or political leader, then follow the leaders, you know, the spiritual leaders who taught these basic laws of thou shalt not kill or love thy neighbor. And let's face it, how many people are honestly following these laws?
Not many.
But perverting them just for their own causes and their own agendas. And that's the problem right now as well.
Even some of the leaders on high, they bend the rules to their will. So what else can you tell us about these beings?
Well, you know, when I talked to, first of all, coming back to what you said.
Have you spoken to them before? Were you able to reach this plethora?
I didn't have the training that my yogi master had of 10 years of getting into these high states of being before he was contacted. But I did have one outstanding experience with a UFO when I was 18 years old. I was in London at the time. And I had this strong feeling I needed to go out into the wilderness. So I took the bus to this place near Stonehenge. And then I walked these country roads for a number of miles. I hopped over this fence. And then at exactly at midnight, this white disc-shaped object flew from the south to the north. And I waited. And then at 1:30, another white disc-shaped object flew from the east to the west, which to me signified the sign of a cross. I don't know why, but the cross is a holy symbol long before Christianity was used by the ancient Egyptians as a symbol of the resurrection or rising of the spirit to divinity. And then at 3 o'clock a.m. exactly, this much larger spacecraft, physical, not an apparition, came over me over 100 feet over me, and this white light came from the hull of the craft, and this tremendous spiritual power came through me. And so I had a kind of a contact where I felt the love of these beings who control this craft. And so I kind of kept it to myself because I didn't want to really let people know. But I talk about it in the book now because I feel the world needs to know the true reason, the truth behind who these people are that man these UFOs.
Oh, we definitely do need to know. Now, you mentioned, I believe earlier, something about being able to hear these transmissions.
Yeah, if people want more information, they can go to my Yogi Masters website, which is the Aetherius Society. They can go to aetherius.org, aetherius.org, and just keep an open mind and listen to some of the wisdom that can be seen from this website. And, you know, I wrote in my book that, you know, your intuition is the greatest lie detector ever created. So if people use their intuition, they would be able to see the false from the truth, from the untruth. And so I say, you know, keep an open mind and study the material yourself. Now, coming back to what you said, Jason, earlier, that everybody needs to raise their consciousness. I totally agree with you. You know,
it's not an easy thing, though.
It's not easy, but it's something that I think we didn't come here to this planet to suffer. Dr. King said there's only one reason why we're on this planet, is to raise our consciousness to high levels where we can gain these deep meditative states, so that eventually we can break the cycle of reincarnation and become ascended masters or ascended gods. Because at one time we were highly evolved beings, we just regressed. He wrote a book back in 1960, which called The Nine Freedoms. And in there, he wrote the true history of mankind. And in there, he said that 18 million years ago, we as a race actually inhabited another planet in this solar system by the name of Maldek, which was in orbit between Mars and Jupiter. And this race that we belong to was extremely advanced technically. He said that robots took care of all the menial tasks, and we could control the weather. You know, we were living in this state of utopia, a very advanced civilization. And for some reason, you know, the Bible talks about Adam and Eve and the fall from the Garden of Eden. Even though it's a kind of a fairy story, it's what happened was these scientists on Maldek actually exploded the whole planet, which is now the asteroid belt. And we were reincarnated on this Earth 18 million years ago. And
from that planet?
From that planet, which is called Maldek. And from there, we reached another state of civilization called Lemuria, which again, we exploded or destroyed ourselves in an atomic war. And from there rose the race of Atlantis, and Atlantis also fell in an atomic war. So
it's pretty much the literal term history repeating itself.
Yeah, so we're at the stage now where we can have another nuclear holocaust.
We're just dumbasses that keep destroying ourselves.
And it's very interesting to note that in the 50s and 60s, when we started exploding our atom and hydrogen bombs again, that in the skies the UFOs were seen, because there was a concern in the solar system that man, here it comes man again to destroy. And the people who manned these spacecraft actually intervened on our behalf and actually absorbed a lot of the radiation. Even the scientists of today don't understand why we didn't die when we started exploding those atom and hydrogen bombs. So we have the higher beings to thank for actually saving us right now.
And we still didn't learn.
We still don't learn. But now things are different, because you know, this is, I believe this is the beginning of the end for mankind. I think there is a new bright dawn, and we're under the influence right now of what's called the Aquarian Age, where astrologically we're being pushed to help each other, to serve each other, not only family, friends, but the country and the world as well. And also, you know, our Mother Earth, which a lot of the indigenous tribes know about, is also raising her vibrations. And so we as a collective, as a mankind, have to raise our vibrations. If we don't, we will be left behind. The people who will raise their vibrations will stay on this planet, and those who won't, through death, will go to another planet to start the reincarnation and the bloody history that we've had on this planet for the last 18 million years.
So doomed to repeat.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Yep.
Now, do you think there'll ever be a reveal from these higher beings, maybe come and reveal themselves to us on Earth?
Well, they've made a genuine contact with Dr. King, and anybody who's skeptical, one thing that convinced me was, in the early transmissions, they would project flying saucer sightings, listen to this, Jason, 3 weeks before they happened in Australia, Canada, US, New Zealand. And so 3 weeks later, the exact dates of the sightings, UFOs would be seen in those skies. And, you know, they actually had to stop that because the military got involved and started intercepting the UFOs when they were seen. So to me, that was ultimate proof that he was in contact with these beings. And you know, you asked me, well, will they reveal themselves? Well, they send a message to say that, you know, you ask for a sign. How about you give us a sign? If we come to you, if we come openly right now, would you open us with love and kindness, or with a nuclear warhead? You know, so it's up to us to change our state.
Touche.
You know, it's up to us. Yeah.
America's dumb. They're going to fire a nuke.
Absolutely. And, you know, when the time is right, Dr. King said there will, you know, people talk about another messiah or a leader coming to Earth. In one particular transmission, he was told that indeed there will be a messiah that will be coming to Earth, but he will land openly. He won't be in mystery like some of the great masters like Jesus and Buddha and Krishna came in kind of mysterious forms. He's going to land openly in a UFO or a spacecraft, and he will approach the Earth leaders. They say he's going to be about, he said he's going to stand tall, humanoid, in a silver suit, and he will approach the Earth leaders. They will ask his credentials, and he'll produce them. And this part of the transmission really blows me. He said that his powers will be greater than the combined military might of all the armies, and those who don't heed his word will be removed from the Earth. Now, he's not going to come as a dictator and kill people, but if people on the planet won't listen to what he has to say, then they will, after death, be reincarnated on this other planet and start their reincarnation cycle. So what I'm trying to tell you, listeners, is that it's important right now to raise ourselves spiritually, to raise our vibrations, and be part of this new age that's coming, where there is not going to be any wars. There won't be this horrible political system. There'll be no countries or borders, just one land and open land and sea. And that's what's been seen as the new millennium that's going to be coming in the next few centuries.
Wow. See, that's all pretty interesting stuff. And like you said, there's a lot of this is in your book, correct?
Yeah. If people want to get the book, it's on Amazon. It's called The Struggle for World Sanity. It's on Kindle. It's on print book. And also I narrated it in audiobook as well.
And is it available on all audiobook stations?
Yeah, not primarily on Audible. Yeah.
Let's pull that up on Amazon real fast so we can show you guys. is, yeah. I usually have my manager in the background doing this, but she took a little bit of time off.
Yeah, and the ultimate message, you know, is from these beings is, the ultimate message from these beings is that we've reached this crossroads. And in the 70s, we had this problem with the oil embargo and this energy crisis. And what Dr. King said, that there's only one energy crisis on this planet, and that's a spiritual energy crisis. You know, hating and bombing and killing hasn't worked for the last 18 million years. And what we need to do as a race is come together and send out that real energy called love, and send it out to everybody, even to the people we despise. And that's the main message that these higher beings are sending to us right now. And they actually have on their spacecraft, they can beam high spiritual energies to anybody on this planet who requests it, and send it out from the palms of the hand, from the heart center, as a tangible energy. And if your listeners want to experience that, they can just stand in front of a mirror, send out white light, and it will reflect back to them, and they can feel a tingling in their fingers and their auras. And so it's actually it's a real tangible energy. It's on a higher frequency than electricity, but it is real. It's a spiritual energy that people use to heal, to uplift. And they say that's the only solution right now, is to send spiritual energy out. I belong to a group of people who are based in 50 different countries. And every day we send out power to help raise the vibrations and consciousness of the world. So if people don't know how to do that, they can go to it's free, a website called 12blessings.org, the number 12 being numerical. And they can practice it themselves, regardless of race, color, religion, or creed, and just send out this spiritual energy out to the world, which is the only solution that's going to fix all these problems right now. Won't you agree, Jason?
I do agree. I'm sorry. I'm trying to pull up the website here. I'm lost without my people in the background most of the time. But yes, raising spiritual vibration is a must.
So that's the essence of the truth behind the phenomena of UFOs or extraterrestrial life, that these intelligences are not only scientifically advanced millions of years ahead of us. And, they always say that truth is stranger than fiction. And in the past, pioneers have come and they said that, people said that the earth was flat, and they were laughed at, they were yelled at till people found out that the earth was actually round. And then, you know, people would say that the sun revolved around the earth, until the astronomers had said no, you know, that
the earth revolves around the sun.
But in those days, they were considered as heretics, as blasphemers by the church. And so people like my master, who was ahead of his time, was laughed at and spat at when he, in the 50s and 60s, when he revealed his information. And people fear something they don't understand. That's why I tell them to have an open mind. And then later on, you know, maybe 400 or 500 years later, he'll be appreciated for the kind of person that he was. And so again, don't take my face value for the information I'm saying to you tonight, but use your own intuition and discriminate yourself. That's what I say.
Yeah, use your instincts. Do what your gut tells you to do.
Absolutely.
If you're feeling the words of Wajid, then go to these websites. Do what you got to do. Raise that spiritual vibration. Definitely pick up his book on Amazon, though. Get that book now. Or just, how could you pass up a moment for him to read you his book? Go get it on Audible. Listen to it. And then send me the copy so I can listen to it also. Well, we want to thank you tonight for coming on. I do apologize for the technical difficulty. My co-host was supposed to be on, but things happened. And hopefully we'll see him tomorrow night in the break room. But I'd also like to extend the invitation to our other podcast, which happens on Saturdays. You're more than welcome to come and enlighten a little more, and maybe we'll talk about some more UFO phenomenon.
All right, my friend. It was a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much.
The pleasure was all ours. Thank you for joining. Guys, thank you for coming on and listening. We hope you tune in next week and the week after and the week after, every Friday, every Saturday night on Talking Junk in the Break Room. Catch us in the archives. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
Welcome to Talking Junk.
I'm your host.